Daniel chapter 3, God willing, we'll be expounding verses 16 through 18 this morning. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. The title of the message this morning is A Threefold Grace. A Threefold Grace. Last week we left off with Nebuchadnezzar giving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the option of whether they wanted to bow to his idol or burn in the fire. They had refused to bow and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they refused to serve his false gods. And the penalty for this was to be burned in that fiery furnace. Before casting them into the fire, however, Nebuchadnezzar offered them the friendship of the world, if you'll remember that from last week. He said if only they would bow to the image and worship it, then everything would be okay and they could go back to living the good life that they were living before. Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, so we can get our context, says, Daniel spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This morning we are going to study their response. How do they answer King Nebuchadnezzar? Because their response is given to us as an example of the godly response and the godly mindset that every child of God should have when they are faced with a terrible situation as this. And we may be facing those times in the future. I thank God that His Word addresses all kinds of situations the child of God can come into. And this is one we need to address. In our text today, we are going to see a threefold grace that the Holy Spirit of God had given these dear believers. And the same threefold grace is available for every child of God today when they face persecution, when they face trials, when they face heartache. And the first of these three graces is a predetermined heart. A predetermined heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. I love these people. I'm so thankful, Father, for this church. What a blessing you've given us. And I pray, dear Lord God, that you'll take your word and feed us today. Give us the understanding we need. And may you receive all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit gave them the grace of a predetermined heart. Look here, if you would, in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, if you were recommending someone to say something in that situation, you might say, now you be careful what you say to the king when you go in there. They weren't careful. They said, in the Hebrew, they're literally saying, we don't even need to answer you. What they're saying is, King, there's no need for us to even discuss this matter. I saw an old pickup not too long ago that was in very good condition for its age. And I complimented the vehicle to the owner, and the owner told me it was one of his older relatives that passed away. He was close to. And it had been sitting in the shed, just sitting there all those years. And the vehicle was sentimental to him. But he had a man that wanted to know what he would take for it. He wanted to buy that pickup from him, so he told the man, well, I'll take $8,500 for it. And the man said, well, the price is too high. I can get on the internet and I can find a pickup like that for, you know, $6,000-something all day long. He said, well, that's what it is for this pickup. That's how much I'll take for this pickup. He wasn't going to let his relative's pickup go for any less than $8,500. Now, suppose someone came up to Brother Doug. I got to listen to Brother Doug preaching this morning while I was on the treadmill. And suppose someone came up to Brother Doug, and you know Brother Doug has that nursing home ministry that I affectionately call the Lakeside Church. And if you ever listen to one of their services, you can tell real quick that Brother Doug and those residents love one another. And Brother Doug loves teaching God's Word. And Brother Doug said the other day that he was so blessed to be able to serve in that ministry. But suppose someone comes up to Brother Doug and they say, "Brother Doug, my name is Apostle Williams from the Mount Ebenezer Church of Miracles in Kaufman, Texas. And I recently spoke with the events coordinator at the nursing home there in Kaufman and about holding church services there for the people each week and taking over their services. And I asked if I could start holding them there, but she told me that you were taking care of their services. So I want to let you know that I've spoken with our church, the Church of Miracles. I've spoken with our church, and we are prepared to pay you $10,000, Brother Doug, if you'll just hand that roll over to me, and I'll teach those people each Sunday in your place." What do you suppose Brother Doug would do? You think Brother Doug would say, "Well, I might be willing if we can get that price up a bit. Well, let me talk it over with my wife and we'll get back to you. Or let me talk it over with the camera lady." That's what he calls her at the service. "Let me pray about it a couple of days and I'll let you know. Or let me visit with some people of the church and see what they think about it." Did y'all hear Brother Doug over there going, "Huh?" Y'all hear him do that when I was doing that? You see his head go like that? I assure you, Brother Doug wouldn't need to discuss the idea with anybody, would you, Brother Doug? He wouldn't have to ponder the idea and get back with the apostle because he already knows the answer to that question. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has given Brother Doug, whether he knows it or not, or knew it or not, a predetermined heart. A predetermined heart. When a person has a predetermined heart, he doesn't have to discuss the matter of if it's worth $10,000 to hand the ministry over to some charlatan preacher. Because he has already determined in his heart that preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ is more valuable than anything this world has to offer. Amen. And I can tell you right now, by the grace of God, I wouldn't trade all the money in the world for the privilege of preaching the gospel. Not all the money in the world. Why? Because I am settled on the value of the gospel ministry today. And because I'm settled on the value of the gospel ministry today, then the question of whether I'm willing to give it up won't be a matter of discussion tomorrow. Even if it meant I'd lose my own life. When the devil tempted Jesus to worship him in exchange for all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus didn't start bargaining with the devil. Jesus didn't say, "Well, now, you say you're going to give me all the kingdoms of the world. What benefits are you going to throw in there with that? Or what's going to be the chain of command?" No, he didn't do that. Why? He had a predetermined heart. He already had determined that the coming kingdom of God and the precious souls that he came to save were worth dying for. That had been determined before the world began. That's what I love about the gospel. The Bible says that God promised us eternal life before the world began. Do you know what it's saying when it tells us that? It's saying God had a predetermined heart. If God had already determined before the world began that he was going to give me and you eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son, that means anything that comes after the world begins cannot change God's mind or hinder his plan. That decision had been made in eternity past, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no need to discuss this matter with the king, because they had already settled the matter in their hearts long ago that their relationship with God was more valuable than anything in this world. They would never trade God in for an idol, even to save their own temporary lives on this earth. And that predetermined heart is given to us by God's Holy Spirit. Toward the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry, listen to what Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. He says, And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. You see that phrase, bound in the Spirit? That is the grace of a predetermined heart that the Holy Spirit had given him. He was bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except or save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth or testifies in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be afflicted. I know that for sure. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. You see that? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, I know one thing. I've got to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit has bound me. I am bound to go. I've got to go to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit has told me what's going to happen when I get there. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be afflicted. I'm going to get put into prison. And I don't know what else is going to happen, because God hasn't told me that yet. But I know one thing. I don't count my own life dear to me. What I count dear to me, Paul was saying, is that I finish my course as a gospel minister preaching the gospel. I finish it out all the way to the end with joy. The only thing I want to do, the only joy I'm going to have, is not saving my neck here on this earth, but preaching the gospel to the very end of my time on this earth. That's what's going to give me joy, Paul said. I don't count my life valuable to me. I count the gospel ministry valuable to me. That's what I see as valuable. Paul said he was bound in the Spirit, and because he was bound in the Spirit, he said, none of these things move me from the ministry I've been called to. The Holy Spirit of God had bound Paul to the gospel ministry by making the gospel ministry more precious and dear to him than his own life. There are a lot of things Satan uses to dissuade us from following God. We've faced them. We're going to keep facing them. But when we know the value of our God and our relationship with Him ahead of time, none of these things shall move us at a future time, you see? Just as Brother Doug knew ahead of time, he never thought of that scenario before. But when the scenario popped up, he's like, You see? That was the grace that God had already given him, so that if he faces something in the future, he'll have that grace of the predetermined heart. Brother Doug knows ahead of time the value of his walk with God. Jesus knew ahead of time the value of his. The Apostle Paul knew ahead of time the value of his. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew ahead of time the value of their walk with God. And you and I need to know the value of ours. God has called us out of darkness. He has saved our souls by the death of His own dear Son. That's how valuable our relationship with God is to Him. We were created, you were created for a divine purpose. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the value of that purpose so we won't trade it in for the world. They had a predetermined heart. And next, they had the grace of an all-powerful God. They had the grace of a predetermined heart and the grace of an all-powerful God. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to cast you men in a burning fiery furnace. And what God can deliver you out of my hand? And here's how they answered him in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They had the grace of knowing the value of God. That's the predetermined heart. Then they had the grace of knowing the power of God. Now, there are two things we need to notice in verse 17. Because the Holy Spirit uses these two great truths to sustain us so that none of these things shall move us. I'll say that again. These two truths that we're going to see here in this verse, the Holy Spirit uses them to sustain us in the midst of our afflictions so that none of those things shall move us. Take your pen and underscore the word able. Able. Now underscore the word willing. I'm sorry, will. Will. Underscore the word able, then underscore the word will. Able and will. If it be so, they said, God is both able to deliver us and he is willing to deliver us. You see that? Now underscore, if it be so. If it be so. What does it mean, if it be so? If it be the divine and perfect plan of God for our lives, that he deliver us from the hardship that you're threatening us with, King. Our God is able to deliver us, if that's his will, if it be so. And our God will deliver us, if that's his will, if it be so. And Christian, here's how you can cash that check. Whenever God and his Holy Spirit allow you to enter into afflictions, no matter what you face in life, Christian, your God is able to deliver you. And if it be so, if it be God's will, your God will deliver you. Yesterday, I received a text message from a man I know that through the Know I'm Saved website. He's a believer now. And he said, I want you to pray for a friend of mine named Gary. He said he's in the hospital with cancer and he's almost gone. He said, I'm praying for a miracle. He wanted to be healed. And this text came to mind, if it be so, if it be so. You see, a lot of people, when when they come to a situation like that in life, he said, it's very hard to see him suffer. If you ever seen a person go with cancer or something like that, it's hard to watch your loved one suffer. It's hard to. So he's praying for a miracle. And you know, there's nothing wrong with praying for a miracle. But what we have to understand is this. They prefaced their response to King Nebuchadnezzar. They prefaced their response to the affliction that they were threatened with those words, if it be so. And as children of God, you and I must preface every traumatic, sad heartbreak that we face with those same words, if it be so. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was facing a far worse death, far worse trial than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It'd been easier to be cast into a burning fiery furnace than to go to a cross and have the sin of the world placed on you. And so Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Not if you're able, But if it's possible, that is, if there's any other way that man can be saved and redeemed without me having to do this, let this cup pass from me. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you know what he's saying? If it be so. If it be so. If it be your perfect will, let this cup, let this heartache that I'm about to face pass from me. Don't let me have to go through it. Nevertheless, in other words, if it be not so, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what that man with his friend with cancer, or you or me or anything that we face, when we're like that, it's okay to pray for a miracle. But here's how you have to preface that prayer for a miracle. Lord, if it be so, I pray you'll raise my friend up from this hospital bed and make him whole right now. I pray for a miracle. But preface it with, if it be so. Because they said, if it be so, our God is able. And number two, if it be so, our God will. Here's a kingdom truth for you this morning. A Christian will never suffer harm due to God's inability or unwillingness to help. As a child of God, you will never, ever suffer harm due to God's inability to help you or His unwillingness to help you. That's a comforting truth right there. And that means if you do suffer harm, that the harm we're allowed to suffer is for our good, it is for God's glory, and it is for the furtherance of His kingdom. Isn't that what happened to Jesus? It was for His good. Because of what He suffered, He's going to come back and be king forever. It was for God's glory. We thank you, O God, for saving our souls through Jesus. It's for the furtherance of His kingdom. If it wasn't for the cross, there wouldn't be the church. Was God able to deliver Jesus from the cross? Yes. He said, don't you think I could pray to my Father right now? He'd send, a legion of angels or however many, 12 legions or however many. He said, He could send a bunch of angels and deliver me right now. He was saying, my God's able. And if it was possible, if it was God's perfect will, God would be willing to. But it wasn't. It was God's will to save Jesus on the other side of the tomb, not on this side of the tomb. And then to save you and me because of it. That was the will of God. So a Christian will never suffer harm due to God's inability or unwillingness to help. And so the third of God's grace, threefold grace, is this. God gives us a persevering faith. A persevering faith. Look down in verse 18. But if not, that's the other side of it. If it be so, our God can and our God will. But if not, if it be not so, if it is not God's perfect will, they said, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Underscore, but if not. But if not. The two big phrases in our text this morning are, if it be so, and but if not. Oh, listen. You, when you pray the if it be so, you make sure and always include in that prayer, but if not. You've got to include in that prayer, but if not. Lord, if it be so, I pray for a miracle and I pray that you'll raise my friend up and heal him of cancer right now. But if not, and then you finish your prayer after that. You have to be willing to accept the but if not. If it's not God's will, you've got to be able to accept that. If it be so, God can and God will. But if it be not in God's divine and perfect plan for our lives, then we know it is for our good, for his glory, and for the furtherance of his kingdom. So, king, they said, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image you set up, whether it's God's will to deliver us, or whether it's God's will to let us burn. We're still not going to serve your gods. They had a persevering faith, a faith that would not fail them even in the face of death. Perhaps you're thinking, Pastor, I hope my faith would persevere, but I'm not sure I would be able to trust God if I was called upon to die. Christian, that's the beauty of the gospel. From start to finish, it's all the grace of God. This was a threefold grace of God's Holy Spirit. Grace. From start to finish is all the grace of God. Here's a kingdom truth for you this morning. A persevering faith is based on God's faithfulness, not ours. A persevering faith is based on God's faithfulness, not yours. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. There's that word preserved, persevering faith. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you want your whole spirit and soul and body to be preserved as blameless in the sight of God until Jesus comes? Oh man, I do too. But you know what Paul said in verse 24? He said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He didn't say, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I sure hope you can hold out to the end and do it. I sure hope you can stay blameless. I sure hope you're faithful to God and can do that. He said, no. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. A persevering faith is based on God's faithfulness, not ours. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you have put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, do you realize you have an inheritance right now that is incorruptible, it is undefiled, and it is in heaven right now reserved for you? You've got a reservation. Now look what he says, reserved for you, verse 5, you who are kept, how? By the power of whom? You? By the power of your preacher? By the power of your priest? By the power of God. Through what? Faith. Does that mean God has faith? God just really going to believe? No. God's power gives you the faith to continue to believe on his Son to the very end. We don't have the strength to believe. We don't have the strength to repent. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. From start to finish, it's all the grace of God. Now, we have the choice, but we don't have the power. See, there's a difference. God gives us the choice. See, what's the difference, Brother Richard? Well, I say this. Let's say that you and I were to go visit Brother Shepherd's lavish two-story home in Rockwall. I know it's lavish because I listened to a Sunday school class a little while back, and he was talking about how it was going to start off being a one-story and end up being a two-story. So let's say that you go visit Brother Shepherd, and he puts you up for the night. You have a wonderful supper, and you go stay in a guest bedroom upstairs. Now, I don't know if he has a guest bedroom upstairs, but let's say he does. So you're going to go upstairs. You're upstairs. Now, let's say, however, that while you're upstairs, let's say that there's a problem. Let's say that he's got this little electric chair rail that goes upstairs. Y'all ever seen those where you sit in them and they go run you upstairs? You have to use that because you're crippled. So you get in that little thing, it runs you up there, and they take your little wheelchair, and once you get up there, you then wheel yourself in there, and they say, now in the morning, when you get ready to come down for breakfast, then we'll help you. Brother Shepherd says, I'll help you get on that little thing. You can wheel yourself back down on this little electric ramp, and I'll bring your wheelchair back down for you. And everything's fine. So you're upstairs, you're crippled. You're in a nice, comfortable bed on a luxury house in Rockwall on the second floor. And in the middle of the night, that house catches on fire. And it catches on fire so bad that Brother Shepherd and his family aren't able to go up there and get you. They barely got out of the house themselves alive. Started off on the bottom floor. And the fire department comes up. They've got one of these ladder trucks. And they're trying to put the fire out. And here you are at the bed. And you can look out the window. And you can see the fire trucks down below. Now, do you have the choice of getting out of there? Yeah, you can choose and say, yeah, I want out. But do you have the ability to get out of there? No, you don't have the ability. And so you would make the choice, but the fireman would be the one that has the ability. You would have to depend on his ability. And so the Apostle Peter said that we are kept by the power of God. We're saved by the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So we are saved by the power of God, but once God saves us, through that same power, God keeps us. How did God save us? Through faith in what His Son did for us. How does God keep us? Through faith in what His Son did for us. We are kept by the power of God through faith. God giving us the power to continue to believe on His Son. I believed in Jesus as my Savior back in the 90s. And here we are in 2025, and I haven't quit believing yet. Now, the devil's tried to get me to quit believing. How many of y'all ever had the devil come to you and say, well, now that Bible's not true? Yeah. How many of y'all who trust Jesus as your Savior right now, while you were Christian, had the devil put in the thought in your head that maybe the Bible's not true? Raise your hand. Look at that. That's your associate pastor right there. That's me. That's your preacher right there. That's another preacher right there. But how many of you, when the devil did that, quit believing? Not a hand goes up. Why? Because you're kept by the power of God through faith. And what does Peter say? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God through faith in the Son of God that's ready to be revealed when He comes again. And then we're going to be made like Him. And that's our salvation. From the presence of sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, when Jesus comes again. In the gospel covenant, the Holy Spirit of God has given us a threefold grace to sustain us during the trial of our faith. And it is this: a predetermined heart, an all-powerful God, and a persevering faith. Thank God. Never look at yourself and think, I need to hold out. I need to be strong. I need to persevere. No. You look at your God and say, God has given me a predetermined heart. God has given me the grace of having an all-powerful Savior who loves me. God has given me the power of a persevering faith. From start to finish, it's all God in His Son. Father, we thank You so much for Your perfect will. We thank You for this threefold grace that You gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank You, Father, for the two wonderful principles of if it be so, and if not, and whatever we put in between that comes in our life, dear Lord God, whatever heartache that we face, there's always going to be an if it be so. Our God is able, and our God is willing. But if not, by Your grace, we'll continue to serve You unto the end. Faithful is He that calls us, who also will do it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.